Morning at verse 42 of this chapter, it says, "And they continued steadfastly." The word steadfastly is not there just to fill in the space. It's there for a good reason. "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." I'm going to have a wee word of prayer together now just as we turn to the word. Father, Lord, we do thank Thee for all who've come today. Thank Thee for health and strength to be here when, Lord, there's so many flus and viruses and colds about. And Lord, we just pray that for this time that You would close us in with Thyself. Bless Thy word to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear a word from Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose on the travels of Peter and his fellow evangelists, he was now preaching to as hard a people as he'd ever preached to. Because those who gathered to listen to him had very recently demonstrated a great determination to hold to what really was self-righteousness. But as they listened to the apostle preach, their hearts were broken. Because they realized, as they never had, their own sinful state. Now Peter, as I said, was always a great preacher. But it seems that on this particular occasion that God the Holy Spirit was attending the preaching of the word in a special way. And folks, that is what we want to pray for. I remember one time speaking to one of our most senior men, and he was speaking about a man who was greatly used in America over the years. And thousands of people were converted through his ministry. And he went on to tell us that, he said, some of the messages he preached in those gospel campaigns were simply ABC. They were so almost at times unbelievably simple. Now he was preaching to people who had been converted for a while, some of them. Some people knew the gospel, but many didn't. But whenever he preached the word, this man said to us, he said, it was as though you had never heard what he said ever before. Basic truths and things that everyone almost had heard. But when he preached, God attended the preaching in such a way that men's hearts were truly broken. And they realized their sinfulness and the enormity of their guilt before the Lord. That is what happened when Peter preached here. Read his message in the preceding verses. It was straightforward. It was relatively simple. It was filled with Christ. And you'll see in verse 37 it says, they were pricked in their heart. It's a happy day for a non-converted person when they recognize that they're lost. And they realize that their condition is one of someone who is undone, and the guilt of their sin is brought very vividly to their attention. That is what happened here when Peter preached. Now, there evidently here was genuine sorrow for sin and desire, and a desire that things might be put right between them and the Lord. These people are hard people. They're self-righteous. They're arrogant. But now they're saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? Very glad that Peter had a very simple answer for them. In verse 38 he says, he calls them to repentance. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They did so, and some 3,000 people at least were added to the church on that occasion. This was a great turning from empty religion for them. And as the gospel was preached, the Lord had answered prayer of God's people in a remarkable way. If you look at chapter 2 here in verse 1, you will see that this turning to Christ was indeed an answer to the prayers of God's people. It says in chapter 2 in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. His preaching was in substance a clear presenting of the Lord, presenting of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men, and a facing up to men with how they have dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the face of it, his message was not a very popular one. But that is the kind of preaching that the Lord can bless. When revival comes, the Lord will bless that kind of preaching. Where Christ is uplifted, where men are confronted with their sinfulness. And it was on this occasion that very many people were truly converted and brought to the Lord. But as we come to our text this morning, we note here that these people were not content with a mere profession and then just wander off and do anything you wanted after that. I know a man who was involved in certain campaigns in the mainland for some years. He was a councillor, and he was told when people professed salvation, even if they had come from a Roman Catholic background, that they were to be sent back to the Roman Catholic Church. That would not be in keeping with the teaching of God's Word. It says here concerning these people that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There was with them a going on. And we have here in this verse one of the secrets of growing strong and becoming a growing Christian. And that is being among the people of God. And part of the reason why I'm drawing your attention to this verse this morning is that not very long ago, someone I know just went away from attending meetings. And I met that person. I said, well, where are you going to go now? And they said, don't know. Just see how the Lord leads. And I thought to myself, well, what about the family? What was wrong with the people you were with? And what about the Lord? What would the Lord have you to do? And just in very, very recent times this week, I'm not going to go into detail, I heard other disturbing news regarding over 40 people. And that really made me think of how we ought to value the fellowship of God's people. Now I know that the Lord speaks to people. You come here to support a small work. The Lord led you in this direction. That is good. But sometimes God's people leave out meetings altogether. And they get to the point where attending church fellowships isn't really something which is a priority to them. I've even spoken to people and they said, well, in my opinion, we can have and meet with the Lord and have our meetings every bit as much at home just as a family. I'm not saying they can't pray or that the Lord won't meet with them, but I'm saying that what they're doing is not in keeping with the Word. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So therefore, there ought to be that togetherness. It says concerning these people that they continued in doctrine and in fellowship. And I want to draw your attention this morning briefly to some things that I hopefully will be helpful to you. These days there are people who I know of who are not Free Presbyterians, and they also have left off going to, yes, they were at evangelical churches, but they've left off going and they don't really go anywhere. Some have drifted away into apostasy. Places they would never have gone formerly. And I wonder, is the problem really one of the heart? However, we want to draw your attention this morning to this. We want you to notice, first of all, that Christians required companionship. These were people who had been caught up in religion before they were converted, and now that they've come to Christ, they have to turn their back on a way of life that has been the portion of their ancestors down through the years. And when they come out and take their stand for Christ, it is very evident and it is logical that they will want and need the companionship of God's people. Now, there's no substitute, as we've often said, for a Christian being alone with the Lord in the closet and taking your prayers and your needs to the Lord in that quiet time. For the busy housewife, it may only be a little time, but it's good to get that little time. For others, we may have more opportunity to do that. We need to continually do that. And while that is important, it is absolutely necessary for the Christian to enjoy the companionship of others who know and love the Lord. It should be the natural tendency of the believer to want to have fellowship. If you're into any kind of sport, you enjoy in some degree being in the company of other people who are into that kind of sport. Let's say you like tennis. Well, you like being in the company of people who like tennis, and you can talk about championships and talk about various things. You may be into cars, and you may like talking about rallying or something, and you like to be among people and you're talking in that way. People are brought together because of their common interest. How much more with the people of God? How much more with those who know the Lord? How much more we should want to be among those who know the Lord? Those who had come to the Lord when Peter preached, well, they had, as it were, forged links with others who knew the Lord. And in this way, they were able to come and they were able to share their difficulties. They were able to share their victories. They may have had something that they wanted to talk about, and they were able to do that. You should be able to do that among God's people. You mentioned the ladies' meeting earlier on, and we know that very often when ladies get together, they can be very, very helpful to each other. Very helpful to each other. Think of when Paul was writing there in the book of Colossians to that church at Colossae in chapter 2. He says there, verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches, and the full assurance of understanding." He's speaking here of Christian fellowship. The word that he uses there, knit, conveys two ideas in the original language. It carries an idea of bringing together, and the word knit also carries the idea of carrying along. So these people came together and they were carried along together in one common cause. And how important that was. How important it was that people came together and they were carried along together. Over there, and we don't want to use a lot of time turning to these references, but in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23, it says there, "And being let go," that is, God's men, "they went to their own company." How many preachers have preached in that text? They went to their own company. I wonder how much we value the company of God's people. I can honestly say this morning concerning every Christian here that we love them in the Lord. In the Lord we love God's people. Yes, we have many differences. And we have things that we, if we're not careful, they could cause us harm, our unity harm. But we love believers in the Lord, and we love to be in our own company. In fact, the necessity of this fellowship with other believers is seen in the command that is given in Hebrews 10 and 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There is no surer way to encourage and strengthen a Christian's walk than to have that Christian in among Christians. In among Christians. I'll use a wee illustration that I've used some years ago here. It was this: if you look at a coal fire, and all the coals are nice and red and hot, and if one piece of coal falls out onto the fireplace, what happens to it? Well, the other ones all stay red hot. It goes grey very quickly, doesn't it? It loses its heat. And so it can be with God's people. These people required Christian companionship, and so do I. And so do you. And I've mentioned to you there instances concerning some of God's people. And whether they realise it or not, they require Christian companionship as well. There are a lot of people who would give an awful lot to have the opportunity to come and meet together in the way we are this morning. They required Christian companionship. But notice the basis there of their coming together, or what content there was in their Christian companionship. It says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in breaking of bread and of prayers. We had earlier intimated that it was natural for people to seek out others with similar interests and so on, whether it's sport or business or whatever. There is a certain type of harmony there, and so it is with Christians. But that does not mean, brethren and sisters, that if someone simply says they're a Christian and they're deeply involved in apostasy, that simply because they profess the Lord, that you and I can go along and have fellowship there. That is not the case. That is why our denomination come about, because we do not agree with that. Our fellowship must be in accordance with God's word. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You will never win others by simply going and saying, well, I know that you're not keeping in with the Bible here, really, but I'm your friend and I'm going to go to your meetings anyway. You will never win people in that way. Because when it comes to that, we must be straight and fair with them and say, listen, we're going by what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is the truths that the apostles preached. The word of God being central in their worship. The Lord Jesus Christ being central in their worship. People who cherish the fundamentals of the faith. If a man denies the virgin birth of Christ, then I can't have fellowship with him. A person could say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ really died, that I think he just went into a swoon. Well, I can't have fellowship with him either. Might be a nice man or a good neighbour, but I can't have fellowship with him. If a person says to me, well, I know you have your own view, but I cannot see the necessity of the work of the Holy Ghost in regenerating a dead person and bringing that person from darkness to life. If they say, I cannot see the necessity of that, well, then I cannot have fellowship with them. You may have noticed in one of the papers this week that there is a great debate on somewhere. They've read all the details in Northern Ireland on conversion. And it speaks about the many, many views upon what actual conversion is. Now, if you were there, you would hear some views that would make your hair stand when it comes to conversion. And certainly they would not be in keeping with God's word. And when God's people come together, the word of God has to be central. It has to be central. Please do remember that, because I'm thinking here of another person who seemed to love the word and love being among God's people. And in very recent times, they've been sitting in meetings in places of great compromise. Great compromise. And I do not say that to point the finger at a person, but I say it by way of warning to myself and to all of us. Make sure the word of God is central, that we're not merely caught up in somewhere where there is merely religious observance. Again, I mentioned the word doctrine there. It's the truth of God as it is, and it must be placed before fellowship. I well remember a very pleasant person phoning me up and inviting me to a certain meeting where there was to be fellowship. There could have been some Christians there, but I had to politely say no. We're not involved in the ecumenical movement. We do not take part in or associate in meetings where there is ecumenism. And then they changed from being a very nice person to a different kind of person. But that be as it may, we must ensure that the word of God is central. Notice there when Peter was finishing his address in verse 36, he says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. There is no Saviour but the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to always make much of him. You will see there also that there is to be not just the doctrine, but there is to be the fellowship. There is to be that coming together of God's people and that desire to be among the people of God. We speak of our faith sometimes as a like precious faith. People of like precious faith. And how precious it is to be among those who know and love the Lord. We mentioned that earlier. I read just lately in a magazine, it was actually a fishing magazine. I think I mentioned that to you before, that I'd read something in a different magazine about Darwin. Well, this was a different magazine. Please don't think that I spend all my time reading fishing magazines. I read an odd one. And I happened to read this bit, and I showed it to my wife. This was actually a different type of magazine, but fishing magazine. And this fisherman had been writing in, and he wrote in, he said, fishing, not evolution. And I thought, well, here's somebody who just wants to say that they believe that God created the world. But what he said was brilliant. And he actually quoted Spurgeon. So I believe that that fisherman was very possibly, a Christian. And apparently, in a previous issue of this magazine, some man had been speaking about fossils and so on, and going on and on and on about how we come from those who were here 60 million years ago and all of this. This fisherman, he wrote in, he said, no. He said, you're trying to take God out of everything. And then he went on to say, as Spurgeon said, and he went on and he quoted Spurgeon speaking about science, so-called, and so on. That man cherished being among God's people. He cherished the word of God, and so should we. And we should cherish being among God's people as well. But so the components of it there are the Word of God being central, that is the Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, which we do. There's no set time for it. Some of our churches used to do it every week. Some do it every month. Some meet once a quarter around the Lord's table. It's as oft as you meet. That's what it is. Remember a wee man coming to me one time when he was in an awful state, and he didn't know, I'd come along and he'd been a great encourager and loved the work and all that. He says, "We're leaving." And I said, "Are you?" I personally had always had the thought that he might leave anyway. But he says, "Well," I said, "what's wrong?" He says, "Love being under the preaching, love being among the people." He says, "But you should have communion here every Sunday." I says, "Well, where does it say that?" I says, "We're to come together as oft as you meet." But he wouldn't have it. And then he left, and then he was really, really unhappy, and then came back again. But it's as oft as you meet, but we meet around God's table and in prayers. How important it is that we pray. We want to go on here from speaking here about the necessity of this this fellowship that we have together, and also that we have to be Christians where the Word of God is central. And we were also speaking here about the various things that do take place. We want to emphasize, especially here where it says, and in prayers. God has answered prayer for you as a congregation. Can you remember last year when we were praying for the children's meeting? We had our own 18 in the roll or whatever, and we were very thankful for that, maybe 15 at each meeting. And we prayed that the Lord would break into the village. And this year, I think we have about 34 or 5 in the roll, with well into the 20s in attendance. And the Lord has truly answered prayer. We'd be seeking the Lord for the way forward in the church. We're now having a ladies' meeting. That, in my opinion, is a step forward. A conference is a step forward. There are things we may be able to mention, as I said, after Christmas to you, which will also be step forward for the congregation. We have 6 on the committee. All of these things strengthen the work. And folks, it's because you gather to pray. It's because you gather to pray. It's not because of the minister or any individual, but it is because you gather to pray and you love the Word. I remember reading a story one time about a man who he was met by some missionaries, and when he realized who they were, he came along with this one page of the Bible. It's all tattered and dirty and old and wrinkled. And whenever they began to communicate with him, he'd just been reading that one page of the Bible and turning it over to the other side and reading it for years. For years and years. And God blessed him. Because he had no other part of the Bible. You think about that. Every one of us has far more Bibles in our homes than we can use. He had one page. And for years, I think it was 15 years, from missionaries had been there and he'd been converted. And now missionaries were back again. He loved the truth of God's Word. He was delighted to see Christians there. He loved to be among them. And how important it is that you and I would get to prayer. Pray for each other. Pray for the work and every part of the work. Here is true Christian fellowship. That's what we're saying. The preaching of the Word, the breaking of the bread when we do that, and praying together for the work. I was thinking about this message this morning, and I thought about what it says over there. Maybe you turn with this to this with me. It's Proverbs chapter 27, please. We're still thinking about fellowship, praying together, coming together, preaching the Word. But look what it says over there in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." What does it mean when it says a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend? Well, when you're feeling downcast, or you're feeling the going tough, or feeling discouraged, are you even feeling like dropping out altogether of walking with God? Is it not right to say that many a time some Christian has said to you something and it was exactly what you needed to hear? It was exactly what you needed to hear. Now, we know what it's saying here. Iron sharpeneth iron. You can ask any man who works with blades, or certainly did in older times, about the sharpening of one iron off the other. And it's right to say that when we're downcast, the right word from a Christian can give us a new edge, give us new enthusiasm, give us encouragement, lift us up when we're down. How do I know? Because I've been there more than once. And I've been glad to be among the people and can truly identify with the words. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Job chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee that thou art troubled." If you read that passage very carefully, you will see here that the words of a Christian friend can be of great benefit. And you're not going to get it if you're not among God's people. But not only are we strengthened in the friendship of God's people, but very often we're strengthened in the battle. If you're living for the Lord, you will know what we're speaking about. Battling to get to the Bible, battling to get to the closet, battling to witness, perhaps battling in other ways in the work, seeking to maintain a separated stand for the Lord while not alienating yourself from the world. You're seeking to walk that line of separation and keep in touch in line with God's word. We'll learn in 2 Samuel chapter 10. We read there in verse 11. It says, "And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. You can read of that in many other instances in God's word, where it's right to say that a man's words encouraged another man. And if you come to the prayer meeting, or you come to the meetings here on the Sunday, you will encourage others by your presence, but sometimes you will encourage people in a special way by what you say. How important it is, therefore, that we're gathered together. There's no benefit from sitting at home and not going to God's house. Notice one final thing here. I just want to mention this. It does say in the word that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Yes, it was absolutely necessary for them. It was necessary that they'd be among those who had the word central. It was necessary that they be among those who prayed, but how important it was that they continued. You see, after the day of Pentecost, the excitement and joy in some degree would have eventually ebbed away and they were down to the daily plod. We're living in a day when people want sensationalism. They are excitement seekers. And when it comes to the daily plod, week after week after week, and sometimes very little fruit to show for your labours. When it comes to that, people find it more and more difficult to become consistent and to continually keep their shoulder to the wheel, as it were. Well, these people continued steadfastly. I remember people came to me one time and said about how encouraged they were and came on for a while, and then they came one day and said, "Well, I want to go blah blah," and I went into, "I have no problem doing this for the Lord. It involved raising your hands." They were wall climbers. That's what they ended up in churches that were really dishonouring and brought a bad name to Christianity. And that is where they wanted to go. There's no steadfastness. There was no continuing with them. These people went on. They went on with the Lord. They continued to seek the Lord's face. You can read in the chapters there. They continued to provide for the needs of the church. They continued to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8. Now, I'm sure they had their problems. And there was persecution that came their way. And in fact, it was very severe hatred for Jews that had turned to Christ. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And I trust that the Lord will help us in these days when we hear so much from around the country that disheartens us. I trust that the Lord will help us to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers.